When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's a great football team with a lot of moral fiber and a lot of character, and they showed it.
Shout, a Buffalo football podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
No place else you'd rather be than right here, right now. When it's too tough for them, it's just right.
Presented by Syracuse.com and NYUP.com.
The Bills make me wanna. Yeah!
What is up, everybody? Just getting out of work, and we thought, why wait till 7 o'clock, Ryan Talbot? On a Tuesday, we're getting our podcast in a little bit early this week, but that's just because Ryan dropped an article today. I'm dropping one tomorrow. We wanted something for you to watch or listen to go along with those articles. He is Ryan Talbot. I am Matt Perino. This is the Shout Buffalo Bills Football Podcast, brought to you by Value Home Centers. Right now, for a limited time only, the big grand drawing, Ryan Talbot, is on Tuesday, July 5th. So you have some time still left to go. Value is celebrating the grand opening of their new store in Bath, New York. And because of that, they're giving away 36 $250 Value Home Centers gift cards. You can enter on their website right now, valuehomecenters.com. Get yourself a gift card. Get yourself some type of product to do a little cleaning around the house, putting something together. We're getting our fence done right now. It's pretty exciting. But whatever's on your mind, a $250 gift card will come in handy this time of year. What is up, Ryan Talbot?
Hey, not too much here. Like you said, those gift cards, man, there's projects always to be done around the house. So go to Value, get in the raffle. You never know. You might just end up winning.
Speaking of winning, 53 Buffalo Bills won a roster spot in your 53-man roster projection that went live about 2 hours ago. You could read it right now on Syracuse.com, kind of thumb through it. A lot of it, Ryan Talbot, to be honest with you, it's ho-hum. I mean, there's a lot of just slam dunks. You wrote about it in your lead. You go through position by position, and you just see a bunch of names that it's kind of like an iron lock. So where I want to start is with those really interesting position battles, roster battles. What were some of the toughest decisions that you had to make in this projection?
Yeah, maybe not one specific position, but the way that the Bills have leaned on special team snaps over the last few years and how that has helped those depth players at linebacker, some of the defensive backs, some of the running backs, like a Tywan Jones, for instance. If we're talking one specific position, though, the toughest decision for me came down to either wide receiver or cornerback, especially that last cornerback spot. I really wanted to go with Cam Lewis. I think that he's gotten better every year here in Buffalo. They did draft a defensive back, however. So those were two of the toughest positional battles. But, how much is this new special teams coach going to have in terms of say on how many players he wants to keep across the board? Are the Bills going to favor certain players? Is a guy like Tywan Jones, who's going to be 34 years old, is he just going to keep being able to make this roster because of how good he is on special teams? Or do the Bills have to hope that maybe someone else steps up this year and takes on that role?
The Tywan Jones discussion is really interesting because if you have a couple of young guys that now a couple years in, whether it be defensive backs, running backs, tight ends, and you only had two tight ends make it on your 53-man, we can get into that a little bit as well. You're starting to groom the next, gunners. I mean, that's primarily what Tywan Jones does. And you already have an elite level one in Saran Neal. So can you get the kind of upside from somebody else if you want to kind of bring somebody else along? So I think that that's a great point. And you have Tywan make it, correct, on your 53-man?
Correct. Game? Yep. On this first one, Tywan makes the squad.
Okay. So, that's an interesting one because if you're Brandon Bean, if you're Sean McDermott, you might say, okay, I kind of found five of the toughest cuts looking at your 53 man, if I was looking at it through a lens of my own. And obviously starting out, you mentioned him, Cam Lewis, Marquez Stevenson, Isaiah Hodgins, two young receivers, Duke Johnson, running back. Where is he going to kind of fit in here with a lot of guys, you know, on the depth chart ahead of him? They signed him to a 1 year, I think it's like less than $2 million contract. So, you know, you're not seeing a big role for Duke Johnson. And then Nick McLeod, I think, is a really interesting one with a lot of, you know, position flexibility all of a sudden. You know, we've seen him over the last 2 years. He's played a little bit of everywhere as a cornerback. Now you kind of sprinkle in safety. And I think those are the five guys that I'm like, all right, how do you try to make room for one of those guys? Can one of those guys be a gunner? Has one of them started to, you know, take those kind of reps? I haven't really noticed any of them do that. We're going to see that at training camp. But if you're a Nick McLeod and you're somebody that's now adding even more special teams value, then it's a situation where, you know, it's almost like the new age Saran Neal, right? A guy that can maybe potentially be work towards being a special teams guy, stand out there, but also be a depth guy in the defensive backfield.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Saran Neal played about 66% of the special team snaps last year for the Bills. And you look at some of the reserve linebackers, about 60%, 61%. They covet those depth players that can also really play big roles on special teams. So if a Nick McLeod and Elijah Griffin, guys like that can step up and prove to have a lot of value as a special teams player, that could push a Tywan Jones off the roster. As for the young wide receivers, I went back and forth on Isaiah Hodgins making this roster. But you look at Jake Kumerow, again, a guy that was in the 60% range on special team snaps. He doesn't do much at wide receiver, but they don't really need him to do much at wide receiver based on who they have in that room. So those are where those tough decisions really come in. We know that McDermott has coveted special teams since year one as head coach. Unless something drastic changes, a lot of those bottom of the roster guys, it's going to be guys that can really help you out on special teams.
Kumerow's been kind of like a core special teams guy. It's how he's kind of hung around. They like him as a receiver. He's probably their, you know, pound for pound best blocker at the position. Gabriel Davis probably give him a little bit of a run for his money. But, you know, I think I want to go there next in terms of wide receiver, because it's like a log jam in the slot. Like we've talked a little bit over the last couple of weeks about potential, you know, maneuvering with different guys in terms of their roles. But after Diggs and Davis, you know, you throw, you know, Kumerow into the mix. He can play some outside as well. You know, you got four guys, Jamison Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, Khalil Shakir, and Tavon Austin, who from the outside looking in, their primary role likely is in the slot. So let's talk a little bit about the thought process there, Ryan, in terms of going with those four guys that kind of, you know, they don't, I don't want to say that they all do the same things. I think they bring different flavors even in one specific spot. But is that a little bit too much? Is that going to be something where the Bills can go into the season with four, you know, similar players like that at one position?
Yeah, that's a great question, Matt. You know, let's start with Jamison Crowder. Crowder was brought in here to kind of assume the Cole Beasley role. At least in my opinion, that's what he's supposed to do. The one area that he's better at than Cole Beasley is the yards after the catch. That's another element that Josh Allen has specifically come out and said that's an area where the offense wants to improve. So I like him to be that primary slot receiver. Isaiah McKenzie, he's been a gadget guy over the last few years. You saw what he could do in the slot, especially against a man defense when they went against the Patriots. I think that he can take on a little bit of a bigger role. Shakir is interesting. Obviously, I agree his best projected spot in the NFL is out of the slot, but I do remember Brandon Bean saying, you know, we're going to try him on the outside, we're going to try him on the inside, we're going to find where he best fits. So he might be someone that has to play a little bit out of place as a rookie, maybe play a little bit more on the outside if he wants to get onto the field. And then Tavon Austin, you know, I have him on this initial projection more so. Again, it goes back to special teams. I think that he can help them out as a punt returner. I think that on offense, however, they covet speed. And if Marquez Stevenson struggles to catch the ball, you're better off going with a veteran like Tavon Austin, who can stretch the field a little bit, maybe clear some things out across the middle for a Jamison Crowder or underneath for one of your outside guys. I think there's a lot of value there in that, even if he doesn't put up a big stat line in 2022.
For me, I think you really kind of ironed it down to an important battle. And that is what I think is going to be Shakir against Tavon Austin. listen, I'm not going to sit here today and come totally off of my bold prediction from a couple months ago saying that, you know, one crazy thing that could happen is maybe Jamison Crowder not making this roster. There's no guarantee that he's on the final 53. I think he's going to have to earn it. I think he's done a lot of that already just in minicamp. He's showed up. He's kind of been that veteran. He's made some plays. You know, he's making his mark in the room with the way that he works. So, I do think that there's a definite path for, you know, especially with what he brings. But for me, Austin and Shakir is going to be interesting. I think Shakir has to provide as much value as possible to earn that spot. And that's even if the Bills want to keep seven, right? Because I think the other six that you mentioned, whether it be Kumerow, whether it maybe be Isaiah Hodgins beating Kumerow out, finally a former draft pick, if he can have a really strong training camp and preseason, we'll see. I think you could kind of get Kumerow maybe back on the practice squad. But anyway, that's another conversation that we can maybe have as well. I think Tavon Austin, at the end of the day, as you get to the 53, it's going to be easier to get him on the practice squad than it will be to get Shakir. And that's why I think that if it comes down to those two, which it could, depending on how many players you want to keep, we could talk about this in a bit. I've been really high on Brandon Bryant throughout the spring here. Ely Onku is a guy that, you know, played a lot of meaningful minutes for them last year, a lot of meaningful snaps, I should say. And so if you want one of those guys, if you're Sean McDermott sitting there and saying, I know we're more talented on the defensive line, but I can't get away from it. We kept 11 last year. I got to keep at least 10. You're going to have to shave in other places. You got the Bills only keeping two tight ends. That's very plausible. I think they can get to the end of August and say, we think we can get Tommy Sweeney, Jalen Weidemeyer back on our practice squad. We're going to go with two there and we're going to keep in other places. So Shakir versus Austin. What's the market been for Austin all offseason? I don't think teams were beating down his door to add him to the roster. And to me, he's a guy that, despite what he does without pads on, and even if he has an absolute firecracker training camp, I can see a situation where Shakir is a valuable guy that they just drafted and they want to keep him in the roster and maybe try to sneak Austin onto the practice squad. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Austin won't factor in on game days, even, especially if they could call him up. Kind of figure out that situation, or maybe there's an injury early on and they decide to call him off the practice squad. I just think that there's a little bit more maneuverability there with Austin than there will be with Shakir. What are your thoughts on that?
No, 100%. I mean, you just said it yourself. Tavon Austin was sitting out here until a few weeks ago. He's someone that hasn't put up a huge stat line since early on in his career with the Rams. You know, he's dynamic. You know, he brings speed, but he's also 32. He's getting up there in age where a guy like Khalil Shakir, yes, he was a day three pick, but he was also a pick that was lauded by a lot of people saying, hey, the Bills would have taken this guy on day two of the draft. We would have loved this move. There's a lot of reasons to be positive about his upside, and he's not someone you're going to be able to sneak out of the practice squad. It's why last year the Bills had to have a guy like Tommy Doyle on their initial 53-man roster. There are certain players, especially rookies, that there's no way they're going to clear the waivers. They're going to get claimed by another team. You're going to lose out on someone that you just drafted. So when it comes down to that discussion, if that specifically takes place, 100% Tavon Austin goes to the practice squad. You can elevate him. You can see what he can do early on in the season as a returner. And then obviously, you know, unfortunately, part of the game is injuries occur, and all it takes is one injury for him then to get signed to the 53-man roster in some capacity. So 100% in agreement with you on that one, Matt.
Richard Greenwood on YouTube says that Jamison Crowder is a lock to make the roster and Isaiah McKenzie is in trouble. I will go out on a limb here, Ryan Talbot. I will go out here on a crazy limb. Maybe that's a crazy limb. There is absolutely zero chance that Isaiah McKenzie isn't on the Bills 53-man roster. 0% chance that Isaiah McKenzie doesn't make the 53-man roster. So I tweeted something out a couple of days ago. We talked to Isaiah McKenzie. I'd missed the availability because I was doing a side interview off to the side. And I went back and I transcribed the interview later on. And I just listened to him talking about the experience of going to LA and performing on America's Got Talent. And then coming back and obviously going to camp. And then when it was going to air, watching it with his teammates. And, you know, there's so many levels to what Isaiah McKenzie brings to the Bills that you can't really just explain away in the football stuff. I mean, what he means in the locker room. When I brought up Cole Beasley, going from Cole Beasley to potentially Crowder, Shakir, McKenzie, Josh Allen stopped me deadpan, like in the middle of me talking, like, just so everybody knows, I've been with Isaiah McKenzie longer than I've been with Cole Beasley. He was here in 2018 when the Bills claimed him. So when you talk about a chemistry, when you talk about knowing a guy on the field, I think one of the big reasons, reading between the lines there, that McKenzie's been so good in these spot start opportunities is because he has this natural chemistry with Josh Allen. They've worked together in practice for 4 years. He's been with him longer than anybody in that receiving core. So I just think McKenzie brings more. I think he's got a higher ceiling than anybody in this receiver core, not named Stephon Diggs or Gabriel Davis.
I like that, man. Listen, you mentioned it. Isaiah McKenzie's been here a long time. He knows the system really well. That's important because with Ken Dorsey being the offensive coordinator, yes, there's going to be some changes, but a lot of the things are going to stay the same, and that also benefits Isaiah McKenzie. I'm not willing to say he's 100% locked, but I think his odds of making this roster are very, very strong. Whereas a few years ago, he was always one of those bubble guys who, you know, showed up during training camp in the preseason and did enough to claim a spot. I think this year he's definitely on the right side of the bubble as we enter the summer, as we enter training camp. But it'll be interesting to see how the Bills break down that dynamic of outside players versus slot receivers. Because like you mentioned initially, they do have a lot of guys, at least on my initial projection, that do fit best in the slot.
Before we get to the defensive side, and we got to kind of cycle through this really quickly here, there's not a lot of intrigue to the 53-man roster projection at this point. It's a couple guys here and there. I had Reggie Gilliam off of my first 53-man, and I would redo that if I had another opportunity. That was an L that I had to take. That was not a wise do. He's so integral to what they do on special teams. He has a great relationship with Matthew Smiley. I think he will be on that roster. So offensive line, you have Greg Van Roten as a cut. And I mentioned in our chat as we were kind of going back and forth, I think Van Roten, Greg Mance, one of these interior players that Brandon Bean went out and got, I think they could be one of those trade candidates late in training camp, late in preseason, when you're looking to maybe add future value. And instead of cutting a guy, you could try to flip him for a pick, even a seventh round pick, if that be the case. Do you think that he kind of fits into that mold there?
Yeah, absolutely. They traded Russell Bodine a few years ago, and he was someone that was having a very bad summer, and you still found a Patriots team that traded for him. He didn't end up making their roster. These are valuable players. These are veterans that have a lot of experience. I don't think there's teams knocking down the door to bring in Greg Mance or Greg Van Roten to be a starter, but you want depth. You want guys that have that experience, and both of them bring that to the table. You know, I went with Mance because he's been here a little bit longer. Van Roten, the Bills had interest in him back in 2020, I believe. So there's reason to believe he has a chance to stick as well. It just came down to a numbers game with Cody Ford claiming that final spot, someone that you've talked about a lot in the last few months in terms of, you know, final chance coming up here with Aaron Cromer. Rookie deal, former second round pick. A lot of, I don't want to say hype around this season, but he needs to step up to the plate, because if not, that bust label firmly goes on Cody Ford, and he goes down as Brandon Bean's worst draft pick as Bills GM by far, considering where he was drafted and what they've gotten out of him so far. So, yeah, I think that one of those veterans that you mentioned are definitely in play for a late day three pick, a conditional pick, because that's the most valuable spot in the league, obviously minus franchise quarterback. You're always looking to build up in the trenches on the offensive and defensive line. And Mance and Van Roten both have a lot of experience that teams covet this time of year, especially as the regular season approaches and injuries take place.
Yeah, if Mance and Van Roten kind of become some version of maybe early Darrell Williams, and for his run in Buffalo, John Feliciano, I totally could see, you know, if the Bills don't see enough over the course of, you know, end of July, August from Cody Ford, just deciding to move on for both parties, right? Like it's never worked out. There's probably not a path to a starting job for him. As good as he could probably play in the preseason, I think Ryan Bates is going to be that guy at right guard. And I only say that because Roger Saffold has played left guard for the majority of his last few years. So yeah, I think that'll be interesting. Let's go to the flip to the defensive side for a second. Again, not a lot of crazy calls. You have Baylen Specter as making the roster. You can kind of get into that a little bit. Ilyanku and Brandon Bryant, they are both cuts. Obviously, priority practice squad guys. And then Cam Lewis. It's going to be a tough one, but because they drafted Kyir Elam, I mean, you just have to probably continue to hope that you could stash him on the practice squad. But I think he's going to have the kind of preseason if he stays healthy. That's probably not the case, but because of the depth they have, that's just probably going to end up being something that, you know, they're not going to cut Dane Jackson. They're not going to cut Saran Neal. And I think you get to a point where, you know, you gotta move on.
Yeah. Starting on the defensive line, Brendan Bryant, Ankou were two of the toughest cuts because I know the Bills like to go heavy there. And I only had 9 initially. I think that one or both would be priority guys on the practice squad. I felt like Bryant, especially for me, and I know you were seeing Ankou's praises recently. I felt like Bryant, whenever he did get some opportunities to play, he always made one or two big plays per game. It just kind of came down to the numbers. You already have DaQuan Jones, who's going to play, I think, a lot of reps. He's going to be that space eater. He's going to clean things up, make life easier for Ed Oliver, who's going to be starting next to him. You have Tim Settle. You have Jordan Phillips. There's 4 guys right there for that rotation. Obviously, ideal world, one of those guys will make it, though, as the 5th defensive tackle. Linebacker, Baylen Specter. It came down to Andre Smith and his suspension. The Bills have a lot of depth linebackers that the Bills really count on from a special teams perspective. So obviously Tyler Matakevich leads the way there for the Bills in terms of linebacker special teams snaps. Tyrell Dodson was 2nd. And then you had Smith right there, 3rd, about 260, 270 snaps on special teams. And with him being suspended for the first 6 games of the 2022 season, I think that opens the door for Baylen Specter to show what he can do this summer at training camp in the preseason, claim that final linebacker spot early in the year, play a lot of special teams reps, and then give the Bills the decision to make after 6 weeks. Finally, defensive back, Cam Lewis, toughest decision. I agree with that. Obviously, I went with Christian Benford as my last cornerback, a draft pick. Now, mind you, small school player, day 3 pick. Could the Bills get him on to their practice squad? I think conceivably, yes, they could. But at this time, I went with the rookie over the experienced Cam Lewis. The Bills might say, hey, listen, we like what Cam brings to the table. He's gotten better every year. And then there's 2 young guys that we've mentioned as well, Nick McLeod, Elijah Griffin. Both guys made some plays, early on here in the last few weeks. What can they do this summer to kind of take that next step and show that maybe they deserve that final roster spot?
Some folks in the comments talking about Shaq Lawson and Jordan Phillips a little bit. And, you know, if Lawson were to be a cut, would it be a surprise cut? I think I'm at the point where I'd call Jordan Phillips pretty close to a lock to make the roster. And I'd say that if it would be a pretty shocking development if Shaq Lawson got caught, just because what they know and said he brings in that defensive line room and the fact that he's so cheap, Ryan. Like, Von Miller here is great, right? But there's 3 young defensive ends that this regime has to continue to develop. Shaq Lawson played 2-3 seasons. What was it? 17, 18, 19. So 3 seasons with this regime under Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier. He knows it because of what Shaq brings, because of the fact that, you know, in practice, Micah Hyde talked about it last year. When we're talking about Shaq, the Bills bringing Shaq back, one of the things that I thought could be so impactful was what he brings in practice. High energy guy in the locker room, you know, getting young guys up every single day when it's kind of tough, you know, when you get into November and December, they're going to really covet that. They're going to really like that. And I think with that 9 number, I think it was Damo that made a good point. He said, didn't they keep 10 last year? They kept 11 defensive linemen last year, Ryan. So I think they're going to be able to bring all 9 of those guys to the final roster.
Yeah, agree completely. Phillips and Lawson are both good for getting guys up, getting the crowd pumped up. Whether they're on the field or on the sidelines, they get the crowd into it. They get things going. So I like both of their odds of making this roster.
Shout, a Buffalo Football Podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.
All right. Great stuff from Ryan Talbot. You can go check that out right now over at Syracuse.com. Full analysis for each position group, why he made the calls that he made. And speaking of making good calls, which Ryan Talbot always does, make a great call right now, all the way up until July 14th. So you got a couple weeks left. Head over to Value Home Centers. They have the Weber Spirit 2 E210 propane grill on sale. $100 off. Usually $4.99. You can get it right now for $399. Going some chicken, some burgers, some hot dogs, some steak, whatever your heart desires. Get yourself the new Weber. get yourself started right now, host a big get together, whatever you want to do. What a deal, Ryan Talbot.
A great deal. And, you know, one day this past week, I came onto Twitter just to find a bunch of people talking about cheese on their burgers. So thank you for that.
Sorry about that, buddy. And notice I didn't. Did I tag you in it? I think I did tag you in
it. I don't know. I think so. I think so.
Yeah, I probably tagged you in it. I apologize. All right. So schedule release. So we did this a couple weeks ago. At the schedule release where we did the game by game predictions and you went through yours, you landed at 14-3. We went through all the games. I am going to do the exercise again tomorrow. Now that we've seen mini camp, now that we really have a good idea of what this team is going to be, I wanted to kind of flesh it out again, go through the whole operation, and let's do that right now. Let's talk about how I finished here in terms of what I think the Bills are going to do this year. I had them going 13-4. I have them losing the opener. I'll go through the four losses. So I have them losing the opener against the Rams. I think the Rams are bringing back pretty much the same team. Offensively, I think they're probably going to be clicking early on. I think the Bills adding Von Miller is interesting. I think he's going to get out for that game. I think that's this defense, if they hit the ground running, they can make it really, really interesting. I'm wondering if Ken Dorsey is going to need a few weeks to kind of get things churning a little bit, right? And I think they come back in week two against the Titans with a really optimal matchup, an offense that I don't think is really built to attack, score a lot of points, especially on the road in prime time. Ryan Tannehill is going to be looking around for guys to throw the football to. I mean, Treylon Burks is cool. They go out and they trade for Robert Woods. Is he going to be ready by week two? We'll see. So a lot of question marks at their skill position spots. And, you know, Derrick Henry had the big injury last year. So I have him starting off 4-1 with that loss being against the Rams. They beat the Titans. They beat the Dolphins, which I think is going to be a super competitive game. Then they go on the road against the Ravens. You had the Bills losing this game. I have them winning it. I think that they really match up well against Lamar Jackson defensively. I think what they did to upgrade the defensive line is going to be really good against a really good Baltimore offensive line. But again, a really competitive game. Then they beat the Steelers. Then I have them lose to the Chiefs. That's the bye. They go 4-2 to start. Thoughts?
I like that start. You know, I agreed with you on the Rams game. I had the Bills losing that. A lot of that for me was the unknown with Tre'Davious White. The fact that they are going to be firing on all cylinders offensively in the passing game. Obviously, Cooper Kupp, one of the best in the game. I think Allen Robinson is poised to do big things for them as well. So if Trey White's not there, I think that adds, makes it a little bit harder for the Bills to win the game. And he could be available. This was just a hypothetical back in May. Ravens game, you know, neither quarterback has really played well against the opposing defense. Lamar Jackson, I think, has thrown for under 200 yards in both of his matchups against the Bills. Josh Allen, his first start against, not including the game that he came in mop-up duty, he really struggled. The second game, he completed over 60-some%, but he only threw for 206 yards in that game. He's never rushed for more than 10 yards in one of his matchups against the Ravens. So they really do a good job of keeping him in check there, too. So I had that. I have them actually starting out 2-2 to start the year before they really then get the ball rolling and go on this colossal run. But I like the way that you have it broken down for sure.
Elliot Eisler, one of our favorite viewers, listeners, whatever you want to say, you know, had a great comment here and talking about what Sean McDermott said last week about the offense being light years ahead of where it was at this time last year. And I think big part of that is because of the people that are involved, right? Like, of course, it's a new offensive coordinator, but it's Josh Allen, who's going into his fifth year, coming off of some of the best football that any quarterback's ever played in the postseason. Another year of familiarity with Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, the majority of that backfield, Dawson Knox. So I think just from a personnel perspective, you know, I think that's kind of more of what I took away from that than maybe Dorsey versus Dable. But I think it's just about where this offense is in, you know, the trajectory with most of its core pieces intact. It's going to be a learning curve for Ken Dorsey. You know, even if they start fast, even if it goes well, I mean, this is a former quarterback. There's a really good chance that the Bills offense doesn't miss a beat, but I think that there are going to be scenario situations, as we saw with Brian Daboll, who was an offensive coordinator two times in the NFL before he got his opportunity with the Bills. I think there's some things you just have to go through in that job.
Yeah, agreed completely. And listen, in terms of being light years ahead, like you said, man, it has to do with this roster. Gabriel Davis on the cusp of something great based on that playoff performance that we saw against the Chiefs. Dawson Knox coming off of a career best season. You add O.J. Howard to be his backup. You add a James Cook to a backfield that had Devin Singletary playing his best ball late in the year. So a lot of the returning faces, the players getting better and better year after year. Like you said, not necessarily a Brian Daboll versus Ken Dorsey type of comment. Just simply put, the continuity here in this locker room on offense is going to really help the team probably get the things rolling on pretty early here, even if Dorsey has some struggles in game or early on in the year.
Also, like with a guy like Ken Dorsey coming in, somebody that's been a part of the program for three years going into this year. So it's not like you're bringing in somebody new where it's completely new. And if you're Sean McDermott, you're probably more heavily involved with Ken Dorsey's operation than you were with Brian Daboll. I mean, I would say Brian Daboll probably ran that thing, you know, pretty much himself, right? Like that was part of the appeal. He ran the offense. Sean McDermott would infuse his, you know, personality. And I think the overall, like what the team wanted to be on that. But I think Dorsey and McDermott, I mean, they have a relationship going back to Carolina. I mean, they were on the same coaching staff there as assistants. And I think that I don't want to read too much into it from that perspective, but I think there's a little bit to it there as well. And I think for a first time offensive coordinator, just think about the time that Dorsey's probably had to spend in the facility and how much Sean McDermott's been around him and kind of watching that. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how it goes and how, you know, where does Dorsey call the plays? Does he do it on the field? Does he do it up in the box? It, you know, there's so many things that will kind of play out, but I don't know. I do think that's a great observation and definitely a little blurb headline that stands out.
Yeah, agreed. And real quick, heads, any news on St. John practice dates, head to Syracuse.com, NYF.com. Matt put something up at the end of last week that talked a little bit about the training camp dates.
All right, let's go on from there. We have the Bills then just rattling them off, Ryan. The bye week at 4-2. They come back and they beat the Packers at home. 2 weeks to prepare. I think the Packers are going to be a little bit lesser version of themselves without Davante Adams and, you know, a couple misses on defense as well. We'll see. And then they beat the Jets, which I think is going to be a tough game at the Jets. The Vikings, the Browns, the Lions on Thanksgiving, the Bears, the first game against the Patriots, and then the Jets. So the Bills end up winning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row to get to 11-2. Thoughts on that run there? I think we both had them winning all those.
Yeah, agreed. Listen, the Packers game probably stands out the most among the games. Sean McDermott's never lost post-bye. Packers have never won in Orchard Park in the entire history of the franchise. Now, mind you, it's a small sample size, but that's an interesting, you know, tidbit. And like you said, they lost their best wide receiver, so that team's going to be a little bit different. The other games, you know, Cleveland's one to watch. What happens with Deshaun Watson? Is he available for that game? Is it a longer suspension than that? If he's there, that's going to be a really close matchup. But in most of those games, well, all of those games, minus Green Bay, the Bills come out ahead in the quarterback, in terms of the quarterback battles, and that's going to really help them out in a lot of these games. I think, like you said, tough games against the Jets. I think the Jets had a really good draft. I still think they're at least 1 year away from competing for maybe a playoff spot, but that doesn't mean that they can't have one or two good matchups against the Bills. That happens every year, especially divisional opponents. So nothing's going to be easy for the Bills, but yes, I agree that those are all games that the Bills could and should win.
I almost had the Lions as a loss. I think the Lions are going to be much improved, and we'll see how things shake out at the quarterback position. If Jared Goff can continue to give them average level quarterback play. I mean, they got some talent around him on offense now, and that defense is going to be better. They play with they're a tough football team. And so I think that could be an interesting game. And then, I mean, listen, I think the Patriots are going to be the worst team in the AFC East, so I gave them the loss. I almost had a split with the Jets just because I think the Jets have played the Bills pretty tough the last couple of years, and I think they're better. But I just think in the end, like, elite teams will beat teams on the come up. And I don't know that Zach Wilson against this defense with where they're playing, you know, week 9 and then again in week 14, if he's going to be able to make enough plays to beat the Bills. So I have him at 11-2. Then I have him losing to the Dolphins at home, which that might be controversial, But I just think that it's going to be really hard to sweep this division. And so I had to find a loss somewhere. I think the Bills play really good in Miami. And so I had this a close game, them losing in week 15, being 11-3. And then finishing it out, win Bears, losing on Monday Night Football against the Bengals, and then closing it out with a win against the Patriots. 13-4, the Bills go there, clinch the AFC East. Probably the one seed, maybe the two seed, depending on – I just think the AFC West is going to absolutely beat each other up. The AFC North is going to be really tough. I don't see anybody really wowing me in the South. We'll see. But I think the Bills can, at 13-4, get that number one seed right.
Yeah, agreed. 13-4 or 14-3 where I had them. I think those are both realistic records for this team. You nailed it with those two divisions. Some really good teams. Even the worst teams in those divisions are going to be competitive, especially in division against teams that they're very familiar with. So I think it can happen. I had that their last loss going to the Patriots because the Bills already had the number one seed wrapped up for that final game. So I'm intrigued to see what happens. I think that obviously, with the Bills being Super Bowl favorites, there's high expectations. And I think the Bills, to their credit, are ready to take on the target on their back, so to speak, where maybe last year they still had their moments against Jacksonville and other games, or maybe they weren't ready to be the target. But I think this year they're ready to take on that role.
Joe DiBiase, Sneaky Joe from WGR 550, put out a tweet shortly before we went on, and we got to get him on. He's one of the only local guys we haven't had on, and we've been working on something, and we'll get him on hopefully over the next couple of weeks. If we can work it out. But he said he tweeted out the odds of Super Bowl matchups. And the Bills actually have the three best odds in terms of matchups. The Bills versus the Bucks is number one at plus 1,600. Then Bills versus Rams is plus 2,200. Bills Packers is 2,200. And then Chiefs Bucks is the next closest, and that's plus 2,800. What do you think about that, Ryan? That the Bills, not only are they the Super Bowl favorites right now, but the three top matchups include the Bills against three different opponents.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Now, it comes down to who the Chiefs lost, and they lost Tyreek Hill. And I think a lot of the betting odds people, they want to wait and see what this Chiefs offense looks like without him. Yeah, they added some wide receivers to that room, but none of them can do what Hill did. So I think there's some intrigue there. You already noted that that division as a whole got a lot better in the AFC West. You had Russell Wilson to the Broncos, some talent on defense there as well. You have Justin Herbert on the come up and a lot of talent on both sides of the ball there. And the Raiders, too. They had Devontae Adams. You know, you have Carr. You have a competitive team that made the playoffs last year. You got it better on defense. I think that factors into it as well, that it hurts them in terms of playoff seeding. And that really looms large come playoff time. If the Bills can have that number one seed, I think that the path for them to get to the Super Bowl, to take on one of those three NFC teams, becomes that much easier.
I said, I tweeted it out that it would be fitting if it was Bills versus Bucks, and Tom Brady's last game ever in his career was a Super Bowl loss to the Bills. Could you imagine that storybook ending for Buffalo sports fans? And what's funny too is with the match that just happened and all the trash talk back and forth, I said they'd probably walk it all back in, you know, the 2 weeks lead up. But man, there'll be a lot of media around all the stuff that those two guys talked. And I know it was for charity, and I know it was kind of tongue in cheek, but some of the things that Tom Brady said about Josh Allen, if he goes on to have an MVP caliber season, does Tom Brady think that Josh Allen can beat him in the big game? I mean, that is going to be prime time, big time stuff.
Yeah. Go back to the quote that you said before the match, like you said, you know, he hasn't had a lot of success against me in his career. That will be probably the quote that gets plastered leading up to that big game, if that's how it all lines up.
If you are in need of anything, you need a lawnmower, you know, maybe you want to get ahead of the winter. You want to get a snowblower, a shovel. Maybe you want some tools for around the house, some projects you want to take care of. Head over to valuehomecenters.com right now. You can shop there anytime. You buy online, pick up today in store, or find a shop through their huge selection of products. They'll ship it to your local store from their warehouse for free and have it ready for you to pick up. You can also text value, VALU, to 80692. That's 80692. Join their text program, receive a $10 off $40 purchase coupon, plus be the first to know about new promotions, deals, and new products. All right, that'll do it for this week. For Ryan Talbot, I am Matt Perino. We will be back next week, John says he's in Cali. What does he need a snowblower for? Fair. Well, I don't know if value is in California, but they'll if you're gonna be in Buffalo, they'll ship it there and you can pick it up. Thank you so much for joining us. Hit that like button, subscribe as well on YouTube before you leave, and we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
Shout, a Buffalo Football Podcast, hosted by Matt Perino and Ryan Talbot.